It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
I was listening to the Passion Conference recently, and I was challenged. They did a live translation up on the platform for a certain portion of the gospel, and then the gentleman took it. They were taking it to somewhere in South America. And suddenly I felt such a burden on my heart and said, you know, in this land, we have so many languages. Do you know how many languages are there in India? Wikipedia says 1,652 languages. In India, 1.42 billion people, 1,652 languages, and not all of them have a Bible in their language. And I thought to myself, the other day I was speaking at the IEM conference, and the IEM people have been translating Bibles, and there are those that are part of IEM as well. They did about 17 languages. Now, I was thinking, from New Life Assembly, we should be involved in helping translate the Bible. So I was actually wanting to find out one of the largest unreached people groups that do not have a Bible in their language, if we can do something to see at least the New Testament or the entire Bible translated, we could probably sponsor it on part of our missions initiative from our missions department. An entire community can get Bible in their language. How many of you think that that's a good thing? Well, let's pray about it. If New Life Assembly can make a difference to a certain people group here in this country or in Southern Asia, there's so many people that still need the gospel. Amen. One of the largest unreached people groups, the region that has least of the gospel presence, it's this part of the world. And we pray that God will enable us. Thank you. Father, we pray for the word. I pray that you would speak to us in a very special, in a crystal clear way, that you will, Lord, cause your word to penetrate our hearts. And I pray that you would minister. Thank you, for there is power in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Stubbs was supposed to preach today, but she had, and we're glad she's back, and I think she'll be ministering next Sunday, so be here. And it's exciting. We have the youth camp, and great things are going to happen this week. I heard the story of a Protestant pastor and a Catholic priest. They were standing beside the road holding a sign to each of the people passing by. It says, "The end is near. Turn around now before it's too late." So the sign said, "The end is near. Turn around now before it's too late." Well, the people thought this was about the rapture. One of the guys who saw the sign, he was zooming past, and he was leaning out of his window and looked at these two people, the Catholic priest and the Protestant pastor. He said, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts. We don't need your lecture." Well, a few minutes later, he just turned, and all we could hear was a screeching of the tires and whoop, a big crash. The Catholic priest looked at the pastor and said, "You know, that's the third car that met with the accident this morning." The pastor said, "I agree. Don't you think we should change the sign and just read bridge closed?" Some people close their ears to whatever others have to say, because they are busy or they have a preconceived idea about what they want to hear. They want to hear what they want to hear. Sometimes they miss what is being said. Everybody is trying to get your attention. Everybody wants you to lend them your ear. You know, what you hear is very important. Do you agree with me? Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." So even your faith is built up as a result of what you hear. Everyone wants you to hear them. The advertisement people wants you to hear them. The banks want you to hear them. I get so many messages from my bank asking me to take one of their loans or the credit cards and things like that. They hound you. Salespeople, Amazon, Flipkart. So many people have offers. Festival offers, Republic Day offers. Travel agents want you to listen to them. They have offers for you to travel with them. Everybody wants you to hear. I heard about this young man who came to one of the cell group meetings, and the care cell leader was asking people if they had any prayer requests so we could pray for them. And Sam, this young man, he said, you know, I want you to pray for my hearing. Well, says, okay, come over to the front. The leader called him to the front. He put one of his finger into Sam's ear, the other on his head. He asked everybody to gather around, lay hands on Sam, pray for Sam. They were a Pentecostal group of people. They prayed and prayed. They spoke in tongues. They rebuked the deaf spirit. After some time, they asked him, well, Sam, how's your hearing now? Sam said, I don't know. I don't go to the high court until next Tuesday. Hearing is a gift from God. You get to hear one another. But we know that God gets to hear each one of us. Do you believe that? He gets to hear each one of us. He is a God who speaks. One of the most beautiful characteristics of the God of the Bible is this. He speaks. The God of the Bible speaks. It's not like you go and you say everything you want to say and hope somebody out there is listening to you. We have a guarantee of a God. When you call upon me, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. Jack was going on this mountain and then he slipped and fell. And as he was falling down, he got a hold of the branch and he was hanging between earth and sky. He looked up, it's way up, and he looked down, it's way below. He began yelling for help. Is there anyone there? Is there anyone there? He yelled for hours, no one heard. Finally, when he was about to give up, he heard a voice. Jack, Jack, can you hear me? He says, yes, I can hear you, I'm here. He says, I know. Who are you? He says, I am the Lord. God, is that really you? Yeah, it is. Please help me, God. I'm about to fall. I'm about to die. I repent of all my sins. I promise I will never sin again. He made a lot of promises. And the Lord says, well, relax. I want you to trust me. I want you to do what I ask you to do. He says, yes, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. And the Lord said, well, let go of the branch. I will take care of you. Jack paused for a few moments and after a few moments, he said, help, help, is there anyone else up there? Friends, the God of the Bible speaks. He refuses to be an image on the wall or a picture in the corner of your room. There is a two-way communication. He's a living God. Question is, have you heard him speak? Has he spoken to you? How does God speak? How has he spoken in the Bible? God spoke to so many people in the Bible. You know of God speaking to Abraham one-on-one. He spoke to Moses face-to-face. He spoke to Joshua. He came as the commander of the Lord of hosts. He came to Samuel and called him thrice by name. God has spoken through his prophets. One of the things that you see when prophets come and speak is they come and say, thus says the Lord. Today we will look into the life of one of the prophets in the Old Testament, a prophet that was used of God mightily. At his command, rain stopped for 3 years. There was famine in the land. At the end of the 3 years, Elijah confronted King Ahab and 400 prophets of Baal. He called on fire from heaven that consumed the sacrifice. He killed all the 450 prophets of Baal. Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, threatened the prophet. He said, by this time tomorrow, you will be like one of them. So now I'm talking, the story is from 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. That's my text, 1 Kings 18. So as Elijah is running away from the mount all the way down, afraid for his life, fearful, deeply discouraged. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. Now, verse 8 says, verse 6, 7, 8 says, the angel gave him food because from the strength of the food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 9, he came to the cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. The Lord said, get out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now listen to this carefully. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I've entitled my brief message, When God Whispers. When God Whispers. Elijah running from a wicked and murderous woman, Jezebel. I mean, just think of it. He confronted King Ahab. He's the king of the land. He confronted 450 prophets of Baal. He confronted another 400 prophets of Asherah. But 850 false prophets plus a king he confronted, he was courageous. He was not afraid. But when a lady said, tomorrow I'm going to kill you, he runs away. Whoa, the power of one woman. He runs. He's afraid. He's discouraged. He comes all the way to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Mount Horeb is also called Mount Sinai. Now, Mount Horeb is the same place where Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain. He spoke to God face to face. God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Horeb. Here, Moses received the Ten Commandments that was written by the finger of God. Elijah is now at that very same mountain, the mountain of God. When you are facing discouragement, when you are fearful, when you have lost all hope, when you want your life to be finished, you need to do what Elijah did, run to the mountain. We need to find a place of solitude, because all of us are busy people. We live in a busy city. The city has almost 11 million people. 10.5, 11, around that. That many people in this one city. Most of us are working 6 days a week. We have emails, we have text messages, we have WhatsApp, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have YouTube. Everybody is trying to speak to us. Life gets very busy. There's no place to be alone. And yet in the midst of your challenges, you go through discouragement. You go through fear. You go through loneliness. You feel like it's over. I cannot face it anymore. I don't know about you, but I know some of you that are seeking God during these 21 days of prayer and fasting. Perhaps you're discouraged too. You're wanting God to speak to you. You're wanting God to answer you. You're wanting a miracle from God. You're wanting to hear something from His word. And I believe today's word is for you. When you come to the mountain of God, God will reveal Himself to you. When you come to that place when you are alone with Him, God will reveal Himself to you. He went to the cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. The Lord is about to pass by because Elijah is tired, he's exhausted, he's discouraged, and God is about to show himself to Elijah. Get ready. God is going to reveal himself. Now, the first thing you find there is there came a great and powerful wind. That's the first thing. The wind, what a wind does, it blows. Wind will blow everything that is in its path. Have you seen cyclones? Here in India, we come across a lot of cyclones, right? Winds that are 100, 150 kilometers an hour. And whatever it's on its way, it will blow away. But did you know that in the past, in Job chapter 38 and verse 1, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind, out of a storm, out of a great wind. In the midst of a whirlwind, God spoke to Job. But here, in 1 Kings chapter 19, in the midst of a great wind, God did not speak. God was not there in the wind. Second, after the wind comes an earthquake. The Bible says the Lord was not in the earthquake. The wind will blow, the earthquake will break. It will shake, it will break everything in its way. It breaks buildings, it shakes trees, houses, cities. Recently, Japan went through earthquake, right? It shakes everything. It destroys. An earthquake will shake everything that can be shaken. It destroys everything in the path. But in the Bible, you find in Exodus chapter 19, we're reading 1 Kings 19, but Exodus 19, God comes by fire and smoke and earthquake, and he spoke to the people. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. There was an earthquake. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. God spoke in the midst of an earthquake. But here in 1 Kings 19, God is not there in the midst of an earthquake. The Bible says, after the earthquake came a fire. Verse 12. The wind will blow, the earthquake will break, a fire will burn. Fire does two things. It burns and it purifies. A fire will purify everything it cannot burn, and it will burn everything it cannot purify. Fire cleanses. Fire purifies. Fire destroys. Earlier in Exodus chapter 3, we find that God comes in the middle, in the midst of a burning bush and speaks to Moses. There was fire. In the midst of a fire, God speaks. So God spoke in the midst of wind, in the midst of an earthquake, in the midst of fire. In the past, he has spoken, but here, God does not speak to Elijah from the fire. The Bible says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Here, the Lord speaks to Elijah in a gentle whisper. Now, listen to this very carefully. The powerful wind, the earthquake, and fire demonstrates the glory of God. It demonstrates the power, the awesome majesty of God. But the gentle whisper demonstrates his presence. I want to say that again. The powerful wind, the earthquake, and the fire demonstrates the glory, the majesty, the power of God. But the gentle whisper demonstrates him. Now, I want you to just imagine with me Prime Minister Modi. I was watching a video. Prime Minister Modi was passing through Gujarat. There were like 60, 70, 80 vehicles. Of course, there are planes that come, there are choppers that come, and there's all this entourage of vehicles, police people, commandos, medical people, news, everybody. But just imagine Prime Minister Modi comes to Hyderabad and he comes to your house and he sits right beside you and he says, hey, ghar pe chai hai? Kuch khane bhi nahi milega? Kuch hai bhaiya? Biryani hai? Kya hai aapke ghar mein? Listen to me. All that you saw displayed his power, displayed his majesty, displayed how great he is. But when he sits with you, he displays who he is. The gentle whisper was a, you know, to whisper is to speak words without any voice. You hear only the breath. When God whispers, you hear His breath. You just hear His breath. Did you hear what I said? Yes. The wind blows, the earthquake breaks, the fire burns, but the whisper is His breath. His breath. It says He is near you. By the way, this is the first time in the entire Bible where God speaks to anyone in a whisper. God spoke in a whisper to Elijah in a still small voice. Now, what does God's whisper mean? It means it's a sign of affection. It's a whisper of His love. God doesn't whisper to His enemies or for those who hate Him. He may speak pretty loudly. But Elijah is His servant, is His prophet. He's somebody He loves. And the Bible says, will I hide anything from Abraham, my friend? Will I hide anything from my prophets, my servants? Will the Lord hide anything from His prophets? Because He loves them. God's whisper is a sign of His affection. God's whisper speaks of His closeness. He's right next to you. You don't whisper to someone just across the street, at the end of the hallway. You speak loudly so they can hear you. But when someone is right next to you, you whisper. He speaks of your closeness. He whispers to those who are close to Him, those who love Him, those who obey Him, those who honor Him, those who walk with Him, those who put Him as a priority, those who speak to Him. He whispers. God's whisper is because He is close to us. God is not wanting us to just love Him during Christmas and New Year and Good Friday and Easter. God wants us to come to Him every moment of the day. Just come, see, because He is a loving Father. He wants to be near us. He wants us to be near Him. God's whisper is personal. You don't whisper in a crowd. I'm whispering to you in a crowd because I have a microphone. But before I came here, I whispered something to Julie. Only she heard it. Sister Stubbs was on the other side. She didn't hear what I told Julie. A whisper is personal. The Bible does not record what God spoke to Elijah in the whisper. It doesn't say what He spoke to him. But the Bible says when Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. God's whisper is still His word. Even if He's whispering to you, it's still His word. And the Bible says His word is eternal. His word is established. His word will never return void. Can you say amen? God's whisper is also powerful. Because God's whisper is His word is powerful. It can change the course of your life. Elijah traveled from Mount Carmel to Mount Horeb for 40 days and 40 nights. Discouraged, disappointed, fearful. But when he heard the whisper of God, he was encouraged. He was encouraged. God's whisper will redirect your life. God gave Elijah a fresh mandate. Elijah was ready to die, but God recharged him. He recommissioned him. He gave him a fresh direction. Verse 15, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mehola to succeed you as prophet. Elijah, your assignment is not over. I have work for you to do. You may be discouraged. You may be disappointed. You may be fearful. You may be running. But I'm not done with you. Some of us here that are discouraged need to hear what I'm saying today. Some of you who are fearful. Some of you are saying, God, take me home. I'm disappointed. You need to hear the word today saying, it's not finished yet. God's assignment over your life is not over yet. You just need to come to that Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. You need to come to a place of solitude where you get to hear His whisper. When He whispers to you, He will change the direction of your life. My friend, after this message, if you can find your Horeb, if you can find your mountain of solitude, if you can turn off your mobile phone for a few hours, your internet, your email, your social media, if you can just get out of this, just find some place. Remember, Elijah did not hear the whisper when he was on the mountain. God showed through fire. He consumed the sacrifice, but he didn't hear the whisper until he came to the cave when he was all alone. God still whispers to us today. God speaks to us through His word. Sometimes when you have your devotions, you'll find a scripture jump out of the Bible. God is whispering. The Holy Spirit whispers to you. God speaks through His Son. Hebrews 1, it says, in the last days He's spoken to us by His Son. God speaks through anointed messages by servants of God. God speaks today through prophetic utterances. God speaks through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. A young man had been through a Wednesday night Bible study. This was overseas. I guess it was the U.S. The pastor shared about listening to God and obeying God's voice. The young man couldn't help but wonder. He says, does God really speak to people today? Can you hear Him? After the service, he went out with his friends for coffee. This was in the night. After the coffee, about 10 o'clock in the night, he started to drive. Got into his car, was on his way back home. While sitting in the car, he began to pray. He said, God, if you still speak to people today, I want you to speak to me. I will listen. I will do my best to obey. As he drove, he had the strangest thought in his heart, and it was very strong. Stop and buy a few packets of milk. I'm using the word packets for us. Buy a gallon of milk. Buy a few packets of milk. And he shook his head, no. First of all, I don't need milk. You know, why would I? But the thought was very strong. So he says, God, is that you speaking? And then he reasoned and he said, you know, even if I don't need it, I'm going to buy it because it's so strong. So he stopped and picked up the milk. As he was driving, he felt such a strong urge to say, listen, the next turn left. He said, no, my house is straight ahead. I'm not going to turn. He says, no, turn left. He felt such a strong urge in his heart. He said, God, is that you saying? I don't seem to understand why I'm feeling such a strong urge in my heart. You know, he kind of overruled that urge and went ahead. After the junction, he went ahead. And the urge in his heart, you know, turn your car back, get into that lane. So he said, you know, I don't know if this is really God, but I'm going to do it. He turned the car back, got into the lane. After he got there, the urge in his heart said, you stop here, go across the road and give the packets of milk to that home. He said, God, this sounds insane. It's over 10 o'clock in the night. There's no lights, nobody here. This whole street is it's empty, nobody. I don't understand. God, I'll make a fool of myself. But he felt that urge to go and give the packet of milk. And he said, okay, God, this sounds insane, but I'm going to go. I'm going to ring the bell. If nobody comes, I'm out of here. Just one time I'm going to ring. Well, he went and rang the doorbell. And from inside, the man said, who is it? What is it you want? A man came quickly. And the young man gave the packet of milk and said, hey, I want to give this to you. The man was so excited. He ran to his wife, who was holding a little baby, and said, "Listen, we got this, we got this." He was speaking in Spanish. The wife comes with the baby and the milk. And the man said, "We've been praying." He said, "We had some big bills to pay and we ran out of money. We didn't have any milk for our baby. I was praying and asking God to show me how to get milk." His wife came and said, "I asked God to send an angel with milk to my house." Are you an angel? When the man heard this, he quickly went to his wallet and whatever money he had, took it off and gave to the family and quickly left that house. He knew God still speaks to us today. My friends, you will find God speaking to you. I'm going to call the worship team. God is interested to speak to you. And I mentioned various ways he speaks. But the question is this, are we willing to listen? We live in a busy world. Do we have ears to listen? Heard about a gentleman who was working in an ice house. Long before there was refrigerators, they would have this ice house and the whole house filled with ice. And they also had sawdust to make sure it was not melting. One of the workers lost his precious watch in that sawdust, in that ice house. They searched frantically. They could not find it. Finally, a little boy went into the ice house. And after a few hours, after some time, he comes out with the watch. And everybody was astonished. He said, "How did you find it?" "I didn't know much. I went inside, I closed the door, and there was no noise from outside. I listened carefully and I could hear the tick, 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 tick of the watch. It was easy for me to find where the watch was when I heard the sound of the watch ticking." My friend, in a busy life, can you hear him? Do you hear the ticking of the Holy Spirit? God is speaking. Question is, are we hearing? Psalm 46 verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Isaiah 30 verse 19 and 21, "People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you." Verse 21, "When you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" God speaks. When God whispers, question is, do we have ears to hear what he has to say? I want you to close your eyes, please, and say, "God, I want you to speak to me." I want you to tell him that you will find place where you will be in solitude. You will get to hear him. Get what he has to say. Hide me now under your wings. Cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone.
I will be still, know you are God. I will be still, know you are God.
Father, we pray that you will help us to understand that you are God. You desire to speak to your people. You have a whisper for each one of us that will change the direction of our lives, that will let us know that we need not be afraid. We need not run away from our circumstances. We need not be discouraged. Father, help us to find that mountain of God, a place of solitude where you will reveal yourself, where you will speak to us, asking that the word will sink into our heart, that you will seal it with the Holy Spirit into our spirits, Lord. Bless us as we go. We ask your favor, your peace, your smile to rest upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.